wonderful wife, Sally. And he has brought along a couple of other folks with him to support and help. Pastor Steve is the founding pastor of Day Spring Church in Springfield. He's a man who travels and ministers a lot as an apostolic type of ministry. A man who has written 9 books so far. Some of his books are available in the lobby. There's a book table out there that you can visit after we finish in here this morning. And Pastor Steve kindly consented to come and minister to us this morning. Can we just give Pastor Steve a warm welcome?
Good morning. So good to be together. We're in that wonderful season of life where we're not pastoring a church anymore. And we're able to just pour into sons and daughters and go where he sends us to go. And part of the writing, the reason books are out there is that this last few years, God's really put on us to get in print the things we've experienced. And you pass on a legacy by raising up a generation, but also by getting things down in print. And so we had a real burden to do that. We finished up our first book 10 years ago, and it was an obedience. I'd been trying to write it for 10 years. And it was an obedience, and it just, I kept being pressured. I knew I had to do this. And finally, 10 years ago, I got the manuscript done. I hit send on the computer to send it to the editor at Global, and I had the greatest feeling of relief in my life. That's done. I will never write again. I will never, ever, ever write a book again. And as I said that, I heard the voice of the Lord as close to audible as I've ever heard. And he said, I'm requiring of you a book a year for the next 10 years. And I thought, oh, no. And so our 10th book will be, it's in the editing right now, and it's actually going to be released in a couple months here, so. And it's probably not the last one, but at least that obedience is gone. So just a couple that are out there that I think are important. Grace and community. We talk a lot about a grace in our salvation, but this is how grace operates within a community of people to bring us into unity. And so that's one of the things that's really in our heart. And then revival, event, or lifestyle. We had a meeting a number of years ago, about 8 years ago in Springfield, where the glory came into the room. We saw incredible miracles, incredible healings, and all of us' immediate response was, we need to start a series of meetings. And instead of starting meetings, we started teaching revival, event, or lifestyle. And that revival actually needs to become a lifestyle, not a series of events we go to. And that's just the heart of that. So just if you feel blessed by any of that, take it, enjoy it, use it. The God of peace. Most things that we speak as pastors, as leaders, come out of things we're experiencing. And this is one of those words that has a very deep experience to us. I may share a bit more of that a little bit later this morning, but I'm convinced that the church has misunderstood peace. And because we've not understood biblical peace, we're actually missing a major part of what God wants to do in and through us as a body of people. And so I just want to tackle one thought in this. And that is to understand the God of peace. In Romans chapter 15, verse 33, we read, "Now the God of peace be with you all." Now we know enough about Scripture that whenever a label is put on God, it's actually describing His character. So God doesn't need to try to be at peace. He is peace. He doesn't need to produce peace. That's a part of His nature. Part of the character of who God is peace. And we need to experience this aspect, this attribute of God's character. We experience His grace, but I believe we need to experience His peace in a profound and new way. And that's just the heart of what I want to share with us this morning is, let's get to know the God of peace. The Jews waited for the Messiah, and they waited for the Messiah, and their belief was the Messiah would bring peace. Melchizedek, a type of Christ, is called the King of Peace. Gideon's altar, when he's offering an altar to God, the altar is called the Lord of Peace. Isaiah speaks of Jesus as being the Prince of Peace, and there will be no end to the increase of His government and peace. So there's so many things connected with Christ. When the angels come and announce the birth, it's peace on earth, goodwill to men. When heaven announces the presence of God, it's very often announced with peace. The challenge we have is that peace has a lot of other forms. And Paul, particularly in his writings, he uses the Greek word Irene, which is the Greek word peace. The problem with that word is that word was also the name of a goddess of peace. It was actually the most beloved goddess. It was a statue of a mother and a child. And so what Paul is doing, and one of the reasons he emphasizes God of peace so often, is he's changing the source of peace from in the natural, from in idolatry, and he's moving the understanding of peace, that it's not a circumstance or a situation. It's a peace that emanates from God and is part of His nature. And we've got to grasp a hold of that. We've got to grasp a hold. And I love the way Paul does it. Through a number of his books, he uses this phrase, the God of peace. We're going to go to some of those this morning. The reason is he's reinforcing, this is where this comes from. This is where the source is. This is where you find peace. Now, one of the major issues we have as people, and let's put that definition up there. What do we mean by peace? In English, our word peace conjures up a passive picture, one showing an absence of civil disturbance or hostility, or a personality free from internal strife. Generally, peace is defined in terms of what isn't instead of what is. This is the heart of what I'm sharing with you today. If you look at every dictionary, I've looked at, I don't know how many, but most of the ones I could find, every English definition of peace is the absence of conflict or the absence of turmoil or the absence of something. And so peace is always defined in terms of what isn't instead of what is. And so we look at our society, and we look at our political situation, we look at all of the stuff going on in our nation, and because there's an absence of something, we aren't at peace. Because that's how we've defined peace. And God wants us to shift our definition so that we're not talking about the absence of something, we're talking about the presence of something. Amen. That's right. And the heart of this morning is that the God of peace wants to be present with us. That's right. In whatever circumstances we're in. He wants us to live in peace. He wants us to be in peace. He wants us to walk in peace. He wants us to understand peace. The biblical definition of peace largely draws its kind of meaning from the word shalom. And shalom, Shalom was never actually used for internal peace, internal settledness. The word shalom was always used for the effect of something on the society around you. So if you're carrying peace, you're actually going to change atmospheres. If you're carrying true biblical peace, something around you is going to shift. Now, as we grow in our lives, we come to understand that we don't know everything. In fact, the older you get, you realize the less you know. And, you know, kind of maturity is realizing you really, really don't know. I want to give you the circumstance that birthed this message. I was going to do it later, but I think I'm supposed to do it now. 3.5 years ago, Sally and I were in France ministering at an incredible conference. It was amazing. We had a whole bunch of French pastors, and we were teaching on signs and wonders, and it was a marvelous, marvelous meeting. While we're there, we get a phone call from our son, and our daughter, who lived in Columbia, Missouri, had basically, she couldn't breathe properly. He drove from Springfield to Columbia, got her in the car, got her to the hospital, and they couldn't find any oxygen, any blood oxygen. There was just no measure of oxygen. They put her immediately into ICU, and within 24 hours, she was on a ventilator, and we're in France. And so we flew home. We got home, it was almost a week by the time we got flights. She'd been in ICU already almost a week. And we spent 2 weeks with our daughter in the ICU, believing God, contending, praying, declaring. And slowly over that 2 weeks, there was slight improvement, just not major, but she was moving in a right direction at least. And we felt good enough to go home to Springfield for just one Sunday. And so we drove down on the Saturday. Midnight Saturday night, the hospital called me and said, you need to come now. And so Sally and I bundled back in the car, drove back to Columbia. Somehow during the night, and nobody knows exactly what happened, but somehow during the night, a major infection got into her body. And we spent the whole day Sunday watching her numbers decline. We prayed, we believed, we rebuked, we declared, we did everything we know we to do, and we couldn't slow the slide down. Got to about mid-afternoon, and the nurse on the machine next to her bed looked at me and said, I've given her the maximum that I can give her. From now on, it's up to her. And numbers just continued to decline. I noticed that we had 3 or 4 nurses line up outside the curtain, and I knew what that meant. They were getting ready to come in and comfort us as a family. And sure enough, a few minutes later, our daughter died. Most incredible experience we've ever had in our life is that the moment she died, the tangible peace of God wrapped around us like a blanket. It was the most incredible. I didn't know it was possible. I didn't know it existed. I didn't know you could feel that. It was so strong that the nurse on the machine looked at me and said, what is that? And I said, it's the peace of God. She said, I'd never experienced that before. And one at a time, those nurses standing outside the curtain came in, and instead of comforting us, they asked if we would hug them because they wanted to be touched by that. I've never experienced that before. That blanket of peace stayed with us for the next 2 or 3 months. Everywhere we went, everywhere we walked, there was this just blanket of his tent. You could touch it. It was a tangible peace walking with us. Now, we hurt, we cried. We did all the stuff. We grieved. Of course we did. No parent wants to lose their child. But I discovered the presence of the God of peace in a way that I've never experienced before. And it's given me a passion for the church to begin to believe for the presence of the God of peace to be so with us that our lives are transformed and the lives of the people around us are transformed by what you carry. When last did somebody look at you and say, "What is that?" I believe in this next season of the body of Christ, we are going to begin to understand the power of the God of peace with us in a way that's beyond our comprehension, yes, sir. In a way that's beyond our experience. Now, I don't think we can conjure up circumstances like that, but I do believe if we understand and believe for something, we're going to begin to see the presence of God change circumstances around us. You should be changing the environment in your workplace, in the school, wherever you are, just because the God of peace is in you. And he's doing something incredible. That's right. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace who brought up the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus Christ our Lord. There are several different translations, but essentially, Jesus was raised from the dead by the God of peace. No, you don't get that yet. It's the God of peace that raised Jesus from the dead. He didn't break a sweat to do it. He didn't have to conjure. He didn't have to imagine. He didn't have to work his faith up. It's just the peace in him was so powerful that it's released and Jesus is raised from the dead. That's the power of the peace that you can carry. That's the power of what's available to us as believers. But we've got to move from peace being circumstantial to peace being an internal presence of the living King of peace. And we're carrying peace because he's with us and in us. Your peace doesn't come because the right party gets elected or the right circumstances happen in our city or you get the raise you're looking for or the finances are right. That's not where peace comes from. But in our English Western mindset, that's how we've defined peace. And so we feel like we can't have it if circumstances aren't correct. In the worst circumstances of our life to this point, we experience the greatest peace that we can even imagine. And I believe that's what God calling us to. I believe that's what he's challenging us to live in and to walk in. When we come to know the God of peace, it actually changes our perspective on the world around us. We see the world in a different way. We view things through a different lens. We no longer think of the effect of the circumstance on us, but we actually think of our effect on the circumstances. Because the God of peace is there. When you say, "Well, I've not experienced that," I don't want you to go through what we went through to experience it. But I want us to experience it because it's the truth of his word. And he's laying this into us. It appears to me that this idea of the God of peace means that for believers, peace should be our normal state. It shouldn't be an occasional state we visit. It should be the normal state we live in. The believer should be the most peaceful. Do you understand how Rome was converted? There was an incredible plague. The plague was so bad, and there's so much fear in the nation, that if anybody in a household came down with a plague, they were actually thrown into the street, and nobody would care for them. The only people that would go in the street and care for those infected by the plague were the Christians. And thousands of them died. But it became known that it was the Christians that took care of the sufferers of the plague in the street, because they carried something that wasn't affected by the circumstance and allowed them to walk into the face of death with the plague happening. And that was the underground movement that began to spread through Rome, which eventually changed the nation. They were hated and persecuted. And then they went to the streets to care for the dying. And something shifted. Believers carried something that allowed them to walk in the streets and care for sufferers of the plague. What if in our nation, we as believers started walking in that level of peace and confidence and boldness? First Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think of when you think of sanctification? We generally think of us getting all this junk sorted out of ourselves. And there's stuff that needs to be sorted out, and there's no question about it. But how do you do that? What's the process for sanctification? Like, very often we have an idea that we're covered in Christ's righteousness, so God sees Christ's righteousness. But inside that righteousness is all this ugliness that needs to be dealt with. And we live with this feeling of there's this ugliness in us that needs to be dealt with. This scripture says that the God of peace is actually working to sanctify you. That's kind of amazing. It's the God of peace at work. So if we don't understand the God of peace, we're missing something. The word sanctify means to set apart or to make holy, bringing a person into conformity with their true identity. There are a number of ways you can describe being sanctified. But sanctification is bringing us into the function that we were created for. Let me borrow your pen, your nice green one here. What was this created for? It was created to write. You were created for something. And the God of peace at work in you, sanctifying you, is bringing you into the purpose of God. That thing you were created for, he wants to write with you. He wants to use you in the way that's specific to your call and specific to his purpose. And that happens when we understand and give the God of peace the liberty to transform us. Sal and I have been around church for a very long time. We pastored for 53 years. That's a long time to do it. We just literally in March, we're in a new year. March last year, we actually officially stepped down from any pastoral role. So we're almost a year of wonderful freedom. We've loved pastoring, but it takes energy. I'll tell a story on myself. So just around the time that we were transitioning, I was standing at the back of the sanctuary in Day Spring, and a gentleman walked over, and I know him well. And he kind of sidled up to me and said, "Are you and Sally still doing marriage counseling?" And I had this feeling of dread. I mean, it was a deep dread rise up inside me. And I'm thinking, "Oh, Jesus, have I sinned?" And I went home, got on my knees, said, "God, what's wrong with me? I've loved people for years. We've done this for years. What have I done? Have I sinned?" And he said, "No, I lifted the pastoral grace off of you." Ooh, I like this. We'll still do it if he says do it. But listen, what are you designed for? We've got to operate in what God's given us the grace to do. And it says, Scripture says, it's the God of peace that completes us, sanctifies us entirely. Isn't that a great word? Sanctified entirely, completely. There's a wholeness He wants for us that's not found in circumstances. It's found in peace. We've missed the power of peace in our transformation. We've all experienced it. It measures at different times. Everybody in this room has experienced that God of peace. You came to a freedom and there's peace. You came to salvation. You went to a season of real peace. We've all experienced this, but this needs to become our lifestyle, not just an occasional experience. Because it's a fellowship with the God of peace. Philippians 4. We spent a week in South Dakota last week, and we had an unusual circumstance happen. We actually saw four people with fairly severe memory issues healed, which is not something I normally see. But Holy Spirit says there's some people in this room that have been struggling with your memory. You're afraid of your memory right now. You're afraid of it. You're not remembering like you know you're supposed to be. If that's you, stand up right now. If it's somebody near each of those, just reach out and lay your hands on them, please. Father, in your name, we release the God of peace. The God of peace that didn't break a sweat to raise Jesus from the dead is not going to break a sweat to restore these memories. So God of peace, come now and touch each of these with the power of your presence. Touch them with the power of your word. Touch them with an awareness that you're with them. And I speak to these minds and I say, be whole. I speak to trauma that has stolen part of their ability and I say, be whole now in Jesus' name. I speak to every part of these brains and I say, be filled with the God of peace. God of peace, sanctify and heal completely these memories now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now just take a moment, if you're standing, and just thank Him. Thank the God of peace for just being in you, through you, around you, touching you. Just thank Him. Just thank Him. Ooh, thank you. Some of you got it. Make sure over this next week or so, come and tell Joe and Caroline if you can tell the difference. We were in South Dakota for 2 weeks and over two Sundays, and we prayed. This the first Sunday, it was just a word of knowledge, and by the second Sunday, we had some incredible testimonies, and absolutely incredible testimonies. Philippians 4:9. The things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So how do we get spirit, soul, and body lined up with the purpose of God? How do we do that? How practically do it? Paul's using his own example. He's saying, what you've seen in me, you get to try to do that. Like the reason the Holy Spirit had me share our testimony early in this is you get to do that. You get to ask for that. Whatever circumstance you face, ask for the God of peace to be at work in you in such a powerful way. And you see, if you do these things, if you emulate these things, if we stay obedient to the Word and the Spirit, we should be able to sustain peace in our lives. Let me just put that a different way. If you're not at peace, you're not practicing the presence of God. Hello? Yep. If we're not at peace, it's because there's something we're not doing. Our focus has gotten shifted to circumstances. Our focus has gotten on to the situations in our family, or the challenges we face, or the business issues, or the financial issues. And somehow we're caught in these issues, and these things have our attention, and they've robbed our peace. And somehow we have to go back to practicing His presence so that peace is coming out of His presence. I'm going to grab something right here just because I need to. Thank you for allowing me a little break. Whew. Make a commitment to practice His presence. The more you practice His presence, the more you're going to live in peace. And the more that peace is going to begin to invade the circumstances you're in. We have a young lady in our church, or in Springfield, and if you looked in the dictionary under the word timid, you would see her picture next to that definition. She works in a company in Springfield, and she's the one responsible to balance the books and pay the checks, and she does all the accounting for this business. Timid, timid girl. She's perfect in this little office she has that's closed, and no people ever get there, and it's just her perfect personality. So a couple years ago, they were in a Monday staff meeting. And in the staff meeting, she was there as part of this number of people around the big table. And for whatever reason, at one point in the meeting, everybody left the table except for the owner and her. And while everybody's out of the room, the owner turns to Timid and says, "What's wrong with our company? Why aren't we prospering? You're cheating your employees here. You're cheating your customers here. You're cheating here. You're cheating here. You're cheating here. If you would change these things, we would prosper." She finally looked up after about 5 minutes of terror, and her boss is weeping. He went and made all the changes, and their company's prospering. Because peace entered the room. The God of peace spilled out and changed circumstances. We don't realize what we're carrying. Practice His presence and carry it. Okay. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Did you realize how many scriptures refer to the God of peace? I don't think we spent quite enough time on this one. "Now may the Lord of peace Himself continually grant you peace in every happy circumstance. The Lord be with you all." What does it say? Every circumstance. In the most challenging circumstances of your life is when the God of peace wants to manifest Himself through you the most strongly. In the most difficult circumstances you're walking through, it's the God of peace. That's the moment the God of peace wants to demonstrate His presence and power. It's in the most challenging circumstances of our life. Leading up to our daughter's passing, Sally and I had been contending for resurrection from the dead. Six of our spiritual kids have seen resurrection from the dead in the last 3 years now. And I believe it's going to become more common. I believe it's part of what is going to bring in the end time harvest. I think it's going to be remarkable. I've not actually experienced that yet. Sally's had one. I've not had one yet. She's had her first one. And so we're in the middle of this strong contending for resurrection, and we watch our daughter slip into eternity. What does it do to you when you're fighting for something and you don't see it? The God of peace is the answer to those moments. The God of peace is the answer to that circumstance, to that situation, to that thing that you're walking through right now, to that challenge you're facing. It's the God of peace that we push into in the moment of our challenge. Sally and I have been married 53 years now. When we met, Sally struggled with her hearing. Her hearing was already fairly poor. And we've prayed for 53 years. And her hearing has not improved yet. We're in a meeting in Oaxaca, Mexico. And Sally's part of the prayer team down around the front of the building. And the very first person in her line was a 35-year-old deaf-mute from birth. And he's the first person in her prayer line. We're doing a healing meeting. And Sally, once the person with him told her what she was dealing with, she heard a voice screaming in her head, "You don't have the right to pray for this one. because you don't have your healing yet. But Sally knows enough about that voice to know if the enemy says I can't, that means I can. And the enemy's accusation actually became a gift of faith. And the moment she laid hands on that 35-year-old deaf mute, he heard, and they coached him over the next hour. And within an hour, he was beginning to form words and speak. And she still can't hear. Drives me crazy. Unless the God of peace. Drives me crazy. I think it's, I'm an engineer. You should do this formula, should do this, should do this, should do that, and it should all work the same every time. The God of peace be with you in every circumstance. Not long after our daughter's death, Sally was diagnosed with cancer. Now, we've seen dozens of people healed of cancer. Just after the diagnosis, we're doing a tent crusade in Maryville, Tennessee. One of the first words of knowledge I got was about cancer. Three people came forward, Sally being one of them. One lady had stage 4 pancreatic cancer. She was instantly healed 100%. Another gentleman with a much less severe cancer died 6 months later. And Sally was healed going through chemo. Yeah. If you don't know the God of peace, those things we don't understand will start messing with us, and we'll lose faith, and we'll lose confidence, and we'll lose boldness, and we'll not walk out as we're supposed to walk. It's the God of peace in every circumstance. Are y'all with me? You tracking with me this morning? I believe we need the God of peace. How many of you have faced inconsistencies that make you wonder what's going on? It's part of Christian life. It's part of living in a fallen world. It's part of the already but not yet of the kingdom. It's part. There's a lot of pieces to it. But the answer is not to back off till we understand. The answer is to push into the God of peace. And when we live in his presence with the God of peace, the questions just don't seem to matter anymore. And that's the place he's bringing us to. In Mark 4, we have this amazing story. It's not on the PowerPoint. The disciples are going across the Lake of Galilee, and there's this amazing storm. I mean, it's a storm so severe that seasoned fishermen are scared. And Jesus, Prince of Peace, Lord of Peace, is asleep in the boat. He's just at peace. The circumstance has no power to disturb his rest. They finally panic enough, they wake him up and said, don't you care that we're dying? Not really. Peace be still. The peace in him comes out through him. And the wind and waves, the storm, has to bow to the King of Peace. That's the power of the peace that we carry. How much do we trust His peace? How much do we trust Him at work in us? How much do we trust His life in us? The peace in you has the power to change the circumstances around you. The peace in you has the power to change the circumstances around you. So instead of giving good arguments or all the other things that we try to feed into conflict situations, what if we fed in the God of peace? What if we carried so much peace in us that that's what people experience? One more. We're going to pray. Romans 16. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. You've read that verse before. You've memorized it. Do we understand that it's the God of peace and your relationship with Him that is what deals with what the enemy's doing? He's doing it under your feet. Now, circumstances may not always look like you want them to look. In fact, if you've been in Christianity very long, you know they don't. Things we believe for and want. I mean, there's people we prayed for. I really think God should have healed. I remember we had two ladies in our church come down with the same cancer at the same time. One was a mom with three kids, and one was a lady that had lived her life for just total all the wrong stuff. Guess who God healed? I was mad. And then I remembered the God of peace. I don't know His mind. I don't understand. But I don't have to. Because I want to live in relationship with the God of peace so that He's working in us and through us, and I have the absolute confidence that when I stand before Him to the best of our ability, we will have lived full of peace and carried His peace and expressed His peace and brought His peace. The most difficult moment of our life has been one of the greatest educational tools we've ever walked through. We've been pastors for years by then. Years. But there's more, church. Amen. There's more. There's more. And I believe that in this city, God wants to manifest His peace through you in a remarkable way. I believe He wants to change environments. I believe He wants to change things happening in the educational system, in the city council, in the city government. I believe there's places in this city that He wants to invade through you, not with just an angry voice, but with the presence of peace. Your presence will change the circumstance. Just for the fun of it, the word crush, used there, I love the definition of that word. It means to grind, to break, and to destroy. Just stand up with me. Let's just do an exercise. grind, break, and destroy. Holy Spirit, come in this room. Holy Spirit, come and awaken our hearts. Awaken our thoughts. Awaken our life. Awaken our awareness to your presence. Awaken us, Lord, with the awareness of your peace. Father, we want to live so aware of the God of peace that you work through us to destroy the enemy's plans around us. You work through us to transform society, to transform circumstances, to transform situations. Holy Spirit, come. God of peace, come and manifest yourself in us and through us. Manifest yourself in this body of believers with great power and great presence. We trust you, Lord Jesus. We trust you, Lord Jesus. We trust you, Lord Jesus. There's somebody going through a very severe relational challenge right now. It feels like divorce. That's the word I'm hearing. It feels like it just a turmoil breaking inside you right now. And God's saying, let me in to that circumstance. Let me in to that challenge. Let me in and let me work through you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. If you've been in real financial challenge, put your hand up for me real quickly. Real financial challenge. Holy Spirit, come. We speak into these financial challenges. We say, God of peace, manifest yourself in power. Manifest yourself. Manifest your presence. Father, we want to live empowered by the God of peace in those moments of our life that are the most challenging. The Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. If you're in this room and you're not sure that you have a relationship with Jesus, you're not sure of your future, you're not sure you have that relationship with the God of peace and you want it, I'm just going to invite you right now to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Holy Spirit, come. If there's anybody in this room, we just want to believe together for the God of peace to so touch them and empower them, so touch them that they would be forever changed by your presence. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. If you're in need of physical healing, put your hand up right now. If I could get somebody to go to each of these hands, please. Just take their hand and stand with them. I want to stand with hers if that's all right. Holy Spirit, come. 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 Father, we just release your healing, the power of your presence in each of these lives right now. The power of your presence. The power of your presence. The power of your presence, Lord Jesus. You are so good to us. You are so, 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 so good to us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, let the power of peace manifest in such an incredible way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I love you, girl. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Sarah. You're such a jewel. I trust now, my Savior, the Lord, who will never fail. Yes, Lord. You're so good to us, Lord. You're so good to us. You're so good to us, Lord. Yes, Jesus. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior. He will never fail. He will never fail. I'm going to turn it back over to Joe. If you're going through a situation that feels like divorce, I would really like to pray with you. If you just come up to Sally and I really would like to pray for you. There's something I feel God wants to say.
Hallelujah. I was looking at that scripture there that's on the screen. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. It's interesting, that's the way Paul put it. You know, he didn't say the God of war, which he is. You know, Miriam declared that in Exodus, he's a God of war. But he didn't declare that here, that the God of war is going to crush Satan. Because Satan is already defeated, you see. So now he's just going to annihilate him and destroy all of his the stuff he's trying to do in your life, in your circumstances. But he said, under your feet. He's writing to the Romans. He said, under your feet. In other words, Christ is already seated in a place of victory. But we are the ones who need to walk it out. We are the ones who need to experience it. And he wants us to realize that we're going to experience it as we learn to experience him as a God of peace in our lives. Isn't that powerful? Because there are many times when, you know, perhaps because of tradition, I'd like to think that I need to be this person of war to get the victory. And there are times for that, as you know, when you have to battle for certain circumstances. But there are times when God is just saying, be still and know that I'm God. Walk in my peace and see. Because he's the one who's going to crush Satan and see Satan bow, see circumstances align, because we're walking in communion, in fellowship, allowing the peace of God to be in us and flow through us. Woo! Somebody needs to hear that. I need to hear that. I'm receiving that for myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Steve, thank you. Thank you for that word. If you need additional prayer after we've closed here, you can come on up front, and there'll be folks up here to pray with you. And again, Pastor Steve has a table out there with several of his books. Please pass by and look at some of them. We're going to close. Father, again, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the peace that is a part of your kingdom that, Lord, we are experiencing even here right now. And Father, I pray that you might cause us to continue to increase in our experience of your peace. Let there be an increase in us, Lord God, day after day after day. Father God, I pray that you might continue to draw us to yourself. Continue to help us to focus, keep our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And Father, as we interact with people, may they sense, Lord, your love flowing through us. And may they experience the peace of God that is upon us. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen.